Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. And let's begin today with a debate about the future of student testing in Massachusetts.
As we've been discussing this week, the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education will decide soon whether Massachusetts will keep its current test, the MCAS, move to something called PARC, which is aligned with the Common Core curriculum, or a combination of both in what's being called MCAS 2.0.
State education officials seem determined to move beyond the MCAS. Here's what Commissioner of Elementary and Secondary Education Mitchell Chester told us yesterday.
As strong as MCAS has been and as well as it has served Massachusetts, we gave it last spring for the 18th year in a row. It's stale. It's not up to date. It hasn't raised our aspirations in terms of the kinds of teaching and learning that we expect from our students. So it's time to move on.
We also got Secretary of Education Jim Pizer's take on where he thinks the state should go.
MCAS has been a solid assessment that has served the Commonwealth very well for the past 20 years, but it needs to be improved. PARC, on the other hand, has many advantages to MCAS, both in form and content, but it too has some shortcomings. So it makes sense for us to think about sort of having the best of both worlds here.
Today, we want to hear from you, our listeners. What's your view on the future of student testing in Massachusetts? Is it time to scrap the MCAS? What do you know about the PARC test? And how should we assess students in the new age of Common Core standards? Where do you see the future of testing in our schools? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Well, with us in the studio is Sandra Stotsky. She's a former senior associate commissioner in the Massachusetts Department of Education, a former member of the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education, and professor emerita at the University of Arkansas. And she's among those who says MCAS has worked well. We should keep it, maybe tweak it. Sandra Stotsky, good to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for inviting me.
Also with us is Lindsay Sobel. She's the executive director of Teach Plus Massachusetts, an advocacy group for teacher. She favors ditching the MCAS in favor of the PARC test and new Common Core standards. And Lindsay Sobel, it's good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
And Lindsay, let me start with you. We heard Mitchell Chester and Jim Pizer at the top. What's your case for what's not working with the MCAS and why it needs to go?
Yeah, so the MCAS has been a really effective assessment over the past 20 years. But, you know, just the way we would look at, we're at the iPhone 6 now, we need to update things over time. You can't stay on top if you stand still.
Right.
And so we are seeing that these days there are a lot of students who get proficient on the MCAS, and then when they get to college, they fail or they are put into remedial courses. 40% of students who are graduate with passage of the MCAS and go on to public colleges in Massachusetts have to take remedial courses on their own dime. So we think it is time to adopt a new assessment that builds on the effectiveness of the MCAS. We think PARC is a better test. It sets a really high bar for great teaching, and it provides us with the information we need to ensure that students are ready all along the way.
And what about this idea of combining the two tests? We heard Mitchell Chester and Jim Pizer talking about that, a sort of MCAS 2.0 that would combine the elements of both the PARC and the MCAS. Is that a route that you approve of?
Not really. I work with outstanding teachers from across the state, and I've heard a few things from them. One is they have been working to get ready for PARC for 2 years now. They think it is an outstanding test. It offers critical thinking. It measures problem solving. It inspires them to be better teachers. We've got a great test. They're ready for it. And they don't want to be in limbo while they wait to find out what this MCAS 2.0 idea would look like. So they say, let's just go with PARC. Or if you must, go with something as close to PARC as you can possibly get.
So there's some pushback to this, and obviously we're going to hear from Sandra Stotsky in a minute, but I want to ask you about this. There was a study commissioned by the State Executive Office of Education that found that PARC and MCAS were equally predictive of college grades. So what do you say to that? And does, I mean, that sort of raises the question, why move to a park-like tests if it isn't necessarily superior, at least according to that metric?
Yeah, so that's really only measuring one thing, which is its predictive effect. And actually, if you really look at the study, it says that both tests are about the same at measuring whether kids will flunk out of college. Mm. But in math, Park is significantly better at measuring whether they'll get A's and B's. I want our kids getting A's and B's. So that's one thing. The other is that the value of an assessment is that it sets the bar for teachers and students every year all along the way. It really has a signaling value. And so what teachers say is that the kinds of questions asked on Park inspire them to be better, more creative teachers. And so that is why they would prefer that, even if their predictive value is similar.
All right. Sandra Stotsky, let me bring you into this conversation. PARC is aligned with the new Common Core Standards. You co-authored a report for the Pioneer Institute entitled How PARC's False Rigor Stunts Academic Growth of All Students. So what's your biggest concern about the PARC test?
That it does not at all live up to the claims that are made for it. And indeed, based upon the analysis my two other co-authors did with me, and the two co-authors were Richard Phelps, a testing expert, and Mark McQuillan, who used to be a superintendent in this state and was in Connecticut, among other things, we looked at the practice test items for PARC and indeed do not see that it in any way develops critical thinking. It does not elicit the kind of writing that would prepare students for college, and its reading test items violate what we know reading research for 100 years has told us, because that is my background.
In what way does it violate that?
Because all of the test items for assessing vocabulary knowledge require students to use context to figure out the meaning of a word. And there is no research whatsoever in 100 years of reading research. I studied under Gene Schall at Harvard for that. There is no research in 100 years that suggests that you learn the meaning of new words by using context. Sorry, the research isn't there. And the innovative test items that are used in PARC that have funny initials for response items, extended response, whatever these initials are, and the high-tech items also have no research to support them. So the test has a false front. Mm. It claims it will do things, but so far there's been no demonstration empirically in any way that it has done these things, whereas for NCAS, we certainly know what it has done in over 10 years.
I want to ask you about one other concern that your paper raises about PARC. You say it would force schools to devote many more hours of testing, leaving less time for classroom instruction.
Right.
Why? How so?
Because so far as we know, and we don't know definitively until the tests are given next year, PARC takes almost three times as many hours overall as MCAS, and so far delivers no specific information back to teachers and schools. That is a terrible loss to teachers. MCAS provided a lot of information, including test items that were released, writing samples from what the kids wrote that were available, and so we've got nothing from PARC so far.
Mm. So your solution, your proposal, would be essentially to phase, to not go with PARC, phase out the Common Core, because PARC, of course, is aligned with the new Common Core standards.
That's the problem right there.
Right.
Phase out PARC. And at this point, you're stuck with an MCAS that is also based on Common Core standards, because that was what the board adopted in 2010. I was on that board. And that means that you have MCAS based on Common Core items, and they may use the same test items that are in PARC, only they'll call it MCAS instead of PARC, but you've got the same test. We don't know what the department is planning, and actually the major recommendation, if you notice that in fine print in our report, is that we recommend MCAS on the condition that a separate agency develop and monitor these tests, because unfortunately the current Department of Education does not have staff that we feel can develop and monitor an appropriate grade 10 test. They haven't for 8 years.
All right. Well, let me come back to Lindsay Sobel. So a lot in what Sandra Stotsky said, Lindsay, the research isn't there to back up the park, this idea that it would force schools to devote many more hours to testing, leaving less time for classrooms, for teaching. Respond to some of these concerns.
Yeah. So I'll start with the time on testing question. The data that Sandra is using is very misleading. The way that the MCAS works is that the department estimates how long it ought to take a kid to complete the MCAS test, but it's actually an untimed assessment. And so what they find is that students will take all day long, and teachers, much to their dismay, have to set aside entire days where they can't teach because they have to give the MCAS test. PARC, on the other hand, is a timed test. It provides students with a limited number of questions, and then you are done and you can go back to your normal teaching day. We've found that that is a benefit, not just because it provides more time for teaching to the teachers, but also because the students find it much less overwhelming. In case of using technology for taking tests, they actually are calling it fun. Yeah. So I'm thinking of one student or a teacher who told me that she had a student with a lot of special needs who would just get so frustrated taking the MCAS, feel really overwhelmed, poke holes in the test paper with his pencil, and then looking at PARC, said, oh, only 8 questions, and just dove right in and tackled it.
And what about sort of at the heart of Sandra's concern is this alignment with the Common Core? So the Common Core is the problem here. So what's your response to that?
Yeah, so our teachers say that Common Core is anything but a problem, that it is a significant advancement upon other prior standards. It emphasizes the kinds of things that today's economy demands. So that is things like deep reading and analysis of literature. It involves problem solving and really understanding what you're doing, not just memorizing the algorithm. It involves critical thinking. So it has caused teachers to revamp the way they teach in a really positive way.
I want to come back to you, if I could, Sandra Stotsky.
Sure, I'd like to leap in on that.
You can leap in. Let me just sort of throw this idea. Earlier this week, 18 current and former education leaders came out in support of PARC. They included school superintendent Tommy Chang, and they called PARC a superior assessment of students' readiness to pursue careers and college-level work. So what are they getting wrong? I mean, what are they missing?
What are they getting wrong? Part of the problem we have here is that people who cannot look at standards, math standards in particular, and understand them, are claiming things that they've been told are talking points for Common Core. We all know that it's a political issue, not an educational issue, and that there has been money at stake from the very beginning. I was on the Board of Ed, and we knew that we adopted Common Core because of $250 million of Race to the Top funds. That was the reason for dumping our other standards that we had, even though the board knew that they had achieved high results for all groups of kids, not just top or middle. So we have a problem today with people who in many ways feel it's to their advantage to say and go along on the bandwagon. It's a bandwagon effect. That's one of the cliches that can be used by people who cannot read math standards. When you ask people who know math standards, and I'm talking about people at the college level who get our high school students when they go to a college, they know what they can and cannot do. Yes, we've had remedial coursework in many, many of our public colleges community in 4 years, because students do not take math in their fourth year of high school. We've known that for years. Mm. And there's been no requirement that students take 4 years of math in most communities in this state, true across the country. So when you have a year and a half gap between your last math course in junior year and become a freshman and take a course or a test there to see what course you should be placed in, you've been away from math, which is like any skill area. If you've been away from it for a year and a half, you're not going to do very well. And I have spoken to math profs who teach beginning calculus sections, and they will tell you about what their students don't know. But it's not because of MCAS, and Common Core can't help it either, because there's no requirement that students take a fourth year of advanced math in their senior year before they go to college.
All right, listeners, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We're talking about the future of student testing in Massachusetts, whether the MCAS should be ditched, whether PARC is the answer, whether a combination of all of the above. We've got two very thoughtful, very articulated folks in the studio who know a lot. They're on different sides of this debate. We want to hear from you. So let's go to our calls and start with Carrie, who's calling from Somerville. Carrie, you're on the air.
Good afternoon. I'm calling because I have three kids who are just starting their educational careers in Massachusetts, and I myself went through education in Massachusetts and graduated just before MCAS actually came as a requirement. And I am fully in support of upgrading our set of standards and our ability to assess our children by upgrading to PARC, because I am very concerned about whether or not they are actually attaining the level of education they're going to need to be successful in the future, and whether or not the education they're receiving in Massachusetts is going to mean anything. So it just makes sense to me as a parent that I would want my kids to take a more advanced test and to have those Common Core standards so that I have some kind of assurance that my kids are going to have a baseline from which they can grow and they're going to be able to achieve success in a global economy.
All right, Carrie.
At this point, you know,
yeah, Carrie, I'm going to jump in because we've got a lot of people calling in, and I want to tick through some of the callers and then get back to our guests. But we hear you loud and clear. We've been using MCAS for the past 17 years. You'd like to see it upgraded and move to PARC. We'll take that on board. Let's go to Catherine now, who's calling from Beverly. Hi, Catherine. You're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
I am a parent of three and a regular education teacher. My question as a parent and as a teacher is that within school districts, we have a district curricular accommodation plan, a DCAP, and every district is different. And one of the things in our DCAP, how we teach, how we reach all learners, is that students who need a little more time are allowed that extra time to process and do whatever. Yet on the PARC test, you know, we just spoke about timing. My daughter, who achieved advanced math MCAS in third and fourth grade, was timed out of her PARC test, and she wasn't allowed to finish.
Okay, so this is a real concern, Catherine. I'm going to put that to Lindsay Sobel, so stand by. But Sandra, let me come to you first and sort of ask you about the previous caller. I mean, talking about, she very much echoed what Mitchell Chester was saying, and that is, you know, this is the MCAS has been a good test for 18, you know, we've given it 17, 18 years in a row. It really needs to be, it's time to change it and bring it up to date to the times.
The first problem is that no one who wants to update it can tell you in what way it should be updated. The PARC test actually lowers achievement. It tests at a lower level. And I have not heard anyone who is advocating for PARC that can tell you what there is in the standards, literally, that would make it a better test. It certainly doesn't develop critical thinking or deeper learning, and you can't point to anything in the test that would, and it has no record for doing so, as opposed to MCAS, which has a sterling record.
Well, see, this is a really fundamental point, Lindsay, and I, you know, you can obviously respond to Sandra any way you want, but this sort of fundamental question, you know, we just got the nation's report card yesterday. Mm-hmm. Massachusetts is on top, you know, so there's sort of this basic question I think that can be asked is like, hey, the MCAS has been working pretty well. Why mess with success?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the reason really is that you can't stay on top by standing still. The economy is moving forward very quickly. It has very new high demands of our graduates, and we need, you know, once every 20 years, we need to update that. And we see that the PARC assessment, what we're hearing from teachers is that the PARC assessment is that update that we need.
And speak to our caller, Catherine's concern that Park does not have accommodations for, I guess, people who would, for example, her daughter who needs a little bit, who tests very well, if she gets a little extra time on the test.
Yeah. So so students with special needs do receive longer, you know, a longer time. And there are lots of accommodations that the Park assessment makes for students who have special needs. And so when they surveyed students at the end of taking the Park assessment this year, I think 2% of them said that they didn't have time to finish. But really, the vast majority of them were finishing on time. And for those who needed things like making the font larger, or for students who have an accommodation that says that the test can be read to them rather than having to read it themselves, they could put on earphones and just listen to it right on the computer, right in the room. That saves a lot of staffing time for schools. It makes kids feel better to be in the room with the rest of their classmates who are taking the test. So what I've heard from special ed teachers, for the most part, is that they are feel that this is a better assessment with better accommodations.
All right, let's go to Jeremy, who's calling from Fitchburg. Jeremy, you're on the air. What's on your mind?
Thank you very much. I think I have, a particular perspective as a principal of a public high school, urban high school. And the concern that I have is, you know, whether it's Park or MCAS 2.0 or MCAS 1.0 for that matter, you know, we lost something like 40-plus days to standardized testing last year.
Mm-hmm.
And the concerns that the staff and the students have is that they feel like they're constantly prepping for tests. And I think especially in an urban school where the accountability is held over your head, even maybe more so than a suburban area, you know, so the focus of the level 3 status or whatever that might come out of that, you know, you have to be very aware of. But we lose a lot of time to test prep and or testing, situations where we're actually proctoring.
So, Jeremy, you bring up a great point. I mean, 41 days spent on testing last year out of 180 school days. I know a lot of people in the Commonwealth raised this concern. Indeed, over the course of last weekend, we heard President Obama talking about the need to limit the time spent in schools on testing. So, Sandra Stotsky and Lindsay Sobel, I'll start with you, Sandra. You know, speak to Jeremy's concern in the context of this debate about Park or MCAS or something else. Is there room in this debate for this conversation about, hey, we've got to get real about limiting the amount of time we're making people prepare?
We can do that if we have tests that are under state control. The original MERA, Massachusetts Education Reform Act, asked only for tests at each educational level, one at elementary, one at middle, and one at high school. It was No Child Left Behind that increased the testing to grade by grade, and Common Core has even pushed that further. So it goes from, in many states, K up to 11, and in this state, from 3 to 11. I sympathize with principals like Jeremy and others. There are too many tests. We don't need it every year. President Obama talked about too much time in test prep. There are also too many years for testing, and we need to reduce not only the time for test prep, but the number of tests we give, so we should only have one grade 4, grade 8, grade 10, and then we're done. That's all you need.
Hmm. Lindsay Sobel, same question to you. I mean, does a move toward Park satisfy folks like high school principal Jeremy there out in Fitchburg?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so one of the teachers in my program, Farida Mama, met with President Obama this week to talk with him about the time on testing question. And what she told him is that we should not waste 1 second on a bad test that doesn't give us the useful information that we need for our students. But she does want useful assessments that are limited in time and give us the information that we need. She calls it a civil rights issue, that we need the information to ensure that we're closing gaps and that we're helping to serve every student. Addressing the test prep question, let me tell you what test prep sounded like for my daughter, who's a fifth grade student in Boston Public Schools. So preparing for the park assessment, her school revamped the curriculum, and they had her read a terrific novel about the California farm workers' strike called Esperanza Rising. And then they had her read the UN Declaration on Human Rights, get in groups, debate with her classmates about whether the farm workers were having their human rights violated, and then write an essay about that. If that's the kind of test prep that kids are doing, then I am all for it.
Yeah. Sandra, that sounds like pretty good a pretty good form of education if that's the way kids are getting ready
that
for a test.
That isn't necessarily what's happening. I know of a Brookline parent who's, after her kid in sixth grade, spent 3 months on test prep in math. And they weren't discussing civil rights. They were just doing the math test items over and over and over again, supposedly. And she is now moving the child to a private school, so less time is spent on test prep and more time is spent on learning new things based on the fact that they've already learned something previously. So you can't use an anecdote of one to generalize from, but we do know that teachers all over this country have been complaining about the amount of time spent on test prep, which is why President Obama is saying something about it. The message is coming through that in too many places, there is a lot of time on test prep, which teachers are not happy about, and parents are even unhappier about.
Well, Sandra Stotsky and Lindsay Sobel, obviously this is a debate that's going to go on for a while. It's very front and center here in Massachusetts. I want to thank you both for coming in and kicking it off for us this week on Radio Boston. Lindsay Sobel is the executive director of Teach Plus Massachusetts, an advocacy group for teachers. Lindsay, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
And Sandra Stotsky, former senior associate commissioner in the Massachusetts Department of Education, a former member of the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education and Professor Emerita at the University of Arkansas. And you can find a link to her report on PARC at radioboston.org. Sandra Stotsky, thank you as well.
Thank you for inviting me.
And listeners, you can find other parts in our series on the future of testing at radioboston.org as well. Stay with us. There's a lot more ahead. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.